Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. The Fan Upstate, 97.7 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, 97.1 FM, Spartanburg, South Carolina, all around the world at thefanupstate.com and live on the Odyssey app. We have been having a ton of conversation this morning about the impact of the House v. NCAA settlement from last Friday. A gazillion questions still to be answered. We've been talking to some experts to try to get some of those answers. We are now joined by the next one. Matt Hand is an attorney, a sports law expert, and a founder of Alta Sports Management. Kind enough to take a few minutes this morning to talk a little business with us. Matt, my man, great to have you on the show, buddy. How we feeling?
I'm feeling great. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Let's start with, so that people kind of know where you're coming from, your background. Alta Sports Management, you are a founder, created effectively, in my estimation, and correct me where I may be wrong here, but working with student athletes to help in all areas of their branding, their social media branding, their awareness, helping them get NIL deals, maximize NIL deals, work through those contracts, etc. How did you end up jumping into this world? How did you end up founding Alta Sports? And what has that relationship with student athletes and the brands you connect them with been like since the NIL legislation passed a few years ago?
That's a great question. So to kind of answer part of that, jumping into the NIL world, obviously you saw with the Alston case when the NCAA issued their new regulations allowing for student athletes to make money, and be compensated through their name, image, and likeness. That was extremely interesting for me just from a legal perspective, seeing how everything would operate. What I did was when I jumped in, we founded Alta Sports Management to really help athletes who didn't know how to really market themselves, how to build themselves a brand. So we were kind of there to act as a tool to help them, kind of push them in the right direction and get them going. And from there, using our legal expertise, I've got my partner with me, Griffin Lowy, who's also an MBA and also a Juris Doctor as well. Our big thing is we really want to help these athletes navigate a very, very unregulated industry. And so we wanted to jump in to help these athletes who really don't know what to do or how to do, a lot of stuff with social media, or how to navigate these deals, how to make sure that they're staying safe. So that's what we really set out to do and kind of work to act as a somewhat of a helping hand to help them kind of push them in the right direction, empower them and get them the deals that they're worth when they're dealing with these different brands.
How has that been the last couple of years, managing those relationships between, specifically, obviously, when we're talking about college football players, college basketball, baseball, whatever, We're talking about young cats, man. Maybe not a ton of real-world experience, certainly not when they're negotiating tens, hundreds, millions of dollars worth of contracts and making sure all the legalese is covered up. How has that been up until last Friday, and what changes do you think may come to those student-athletes, you and other folks who are working to assist them in maximizing their opportunities? What changes do you think are going to develop because of the House v. NCAA settlement passing last Friday?
That's a great question. I think relatively everything is going to be a lot different in terms of the types of deals that you're going to see. Of course, now with the new settlement, schools can now pay students directly through revenue sharing. So they'll have the $20.5 million cap. A lot of deals are now just going to be directly negotiated through these schools. You've seen all of these collectives that have been operating to somewhat, circumvent the new NIL compensation, quote unquote, because a lot of these times it's quasi pay for play. Because it's operating through the collectives. Now you have the schools are able to directly negotiate with the athletes. So you'll see more deals come through directly with the schools. You'll see less deals with the collectives, but at the same time, the collectives are not going to be going away in any form. And in many cases, we'll see collectives still kind of try to circumvent the cap. And that's going to be a big issue now with the new clearinghouse, the NIL Go, because they're going to try to act as an enforcement agency to provide or determine whether a deal is for a fair market value. That will open up a lot of different questions in the back end, but a lot of the deals you'll see now will just come through these schools rather than the collectives.
I guess one of the biggest questions out of this whole thing that came to me, Matt, was when the NIL Go was announced as kind of the platform for all of these deals to go through, and also the clearinghouse that was going to determine if they were fair deals, if it was the correct market value, et cetera. My thought is, if I'm a player, and I, especially maybe a player that comes from nothing, this is the first time he's ever gotten a chance to make big money, and somebody comes to him and says, hey, we'll give you, $50K a month to send out a couple of tweets, and the clearinghouse says, no, that's not fair compensation. I imagine not only is that kid going to be very upset, but that there's going to be some folks willing to go to battle on his behalf to say, who the hell are you to determine what a fair market value is? If the thought out here for us normal people is market value is whatever somebody's willing to pay you for that thing. How is that going to work? Or I guess maybe is it going to work?
Yeah, that's absolutely, absolutely correct. The main criticism that you can see throughout the industry right now is why are we allowing a third party clearinghouse to determine a fair market value and trying to regulate a contract between one private third party and another private third party? These athletes have no bargaining chip here. There's no collective bargaining going on. It raises a lot of antitrust issues, and it's going to be very interesting to see what will happen come the first time that NIL Go denies a contract. Now, right now, under the settlement, what athletes can do is they can appeal to a neutral arbitrator. They can go back and rework the deal. This is all, of course, if it gets denied, or they can back out from the contract directly. One of the big things here is that under the settlement, the arbitration clause, again, these athletes didn't negotiate for this. Athletes were not, there's no mutual assent here for the arbitration clause. So I think even if they go to arbitration, there's an argument to be made that any award that would deny them, if say they appeal and the arbitrator, upholds the NIL Go's enforcement, there's a chance you can get that vacated through the courts. So I don't know if the arbitration clause itself will even be enforceable. And there will absolutely be lawsuits if NIL Go decides to deny any deal because they find it's not fair market value. Because at the end of the day, as you said, who are they to decide whether something is fair market value if it's two private companies or two private parties negotiating for a private contract?
Matt Hand, attorney, sports law expert, founder of Alta Sports here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. This one's kind of a broad one here, Matt, but the thought I've had since the creation of NIL with a lack of rules, protocols, guidelines, regulations established at the beginning meant that players were going to pretty much get to go do whatever they wanted, and then the NCAA was going to have to stop them, which feels like it's a lot more difficult than prop up the rules and make the players attack rule by rule to get rid of them. But my theory from the beginning has been, I do not think there is a way that this does not end up with some sort of unionization of student athletes and then a collective bargaining agreement where they say, okay, we accept that the cap is this, and maybe you can regulate NIL this way, but we want this in compensation. Do you see a path that does not end with unionization of student athletes in a CBA?
I'll say this. I do see in the absolute end of it, I do see the unionization of student athletes in the NCAA. I don't know how long that will take because there are many hurdles to overcome. How are you going to unionize athletes of all different sports? It's going to be a very difficult process. What the NCAA wants is federal legislation right now that at the end of the day would grant them an antitrust exemption and really regulate what these contracts will look like, what these deals will look like with schools. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's going to happen. You've seen so many bills come through through Congress that are just going nowhere. So the NCAA really wants to get a federal antitrust exemption, but that would be the only path that could possibly lead to not unionization. But I just do not see any federal legislation passing, just given the current landscape of all these bills that are being written and then just dying immediately on the floor.
Yeah, and that's interesting. We've had the conversation, well, the NFL's got it, the NBA. Yeah, but these are entities that have, the NFL is 32 teams, and they're all billionaire owners on the same page. So it's easy for them to do that and then allow the players to unionize and negotiate. With the NCAA, we're talking hundreds, thousands of schools that all have different agendas, desires, wants, and needs. We have different levels, et cetera, et cetera. Even if everybody in Congress and the Senate said, yeah, we're on board with crafting legislation here, what the universities in Maine may want out of it is so different than what they want in South Dakota, so different than California, Florida, South Carolina. I don't really know if it matters. I guess the point here is, Matt, I got no idea what the hell's going to happen.
And many other people have no idea as well. And we are just waiting. It is a waiting game at this point. We're just going along. You know, we're here, we're going to follow the rules as best as possible, follow all the regulations. But there will be issues because at the end of the day, it is inevitable that NILGO is going to deny a contract. When that happens, we have no idea what the fallout will be. Obviously there will be lawsuits, as I've already mentioned. But we don't know what's going to happen, you know, after the fact, and it's going to be up to the lawyers. It's going to be up to the agents, the judges, arbitrators, and at the end of the day, we really are just kind of waiting here.
Matt Hand is an attorney, sports law expert, and founder of Alta Sports Management here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Let's dive, if you don't mind, because this is obviously your wheelhouse, kind of into what NILGO, the new NIL clearinghouse. We kind of know what it is. We kind of know how it's going to operate. But as somebody who has been handling the exact type of contracts and deals that this clearinghouse is going to manage on behalf of the NCAA, what issues outside of the ones we've talked about, which is denying a contract in the inevitable litigation that's going to come out of that, are there any other issues, pros, cons, benefits, drawbacks to the establishment of NILGO on the student athletes that you represent now and maybe the ones that you might in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think in terms of drawbacks and pros and cons, one of the big drawbacks you'll see is that many athletes may feel afraid to enter these contracts in case that, you know, they go to NILGO and they're worried it's going to be denied. It may kind of limit their ability to get the most out of a deal in fear that it will not be accepted. Another big thing that will come out of this is the fact that there are already so many athletes, around 10 to 20% of deals, according to certain reports, aren't even, you know, pre-NILGO, aren't being reported to schools, that aren't being reported to, did I say 10 to 20 aren't being, 10 to, only 10 to 20% are being reported. So there's a lot of deals that aren't being reported already. If athletes, you know, don't know to report these deals, they may risk ineligibility or losing their eligibility for playing in the NCAA. So it's very important for them to, you know, get legal counsel, get an agent, make sure that they're complying with everything, because at the end of the day, it may risk their eligibility if they're not reporting this, if they're not following the proper guidelines and not reporting these deals.
How, based on what we've seen so far, and I know we've still got to prop up the college football, the College Sports Commission, and that commission still got to dive in and kind of start to craft its own rules everybody's supposed to follow. But is there for me, like there is anytime you have a multi-billion dollar entity that is trying to make rules within it. One of my big fears is that it is going to be so wildly convoluted and difficult to navigate that even folks like yourself who have made this what they do may kind of get lost in the sauce about what is allowed, what's not, where, how, et cetera. Is there any concern about that? And are folks speaking up to from outside of the College Sports Commission maybe have a voice in crafting or efforting a streamlined version of rules? Like, where are we in that whole process?
Right now, we are in the very, very early stages. I think one of the biggest issues that arises for attorneys like myself is that these rules come out, and many times, and I'm not saying the current rules are illegal, but many times these new rules and regulations come out, they are in violation of current legislation that puts attorneys at a crossroad, saying, can I, you know, I need to follow these regulations that are passed by this, you know, say the College Sports Commission. But at the same time, if I follow these rules, I'd be violating a certain statute based on how you're supposed to operate as an athlete agent in certain states. So the biggest issue is there's a lot of conflicting rules and regulations where if you follow one way, you're gonna break a rule in the other way. So there's really no way of knowing how best to navigate, because you're bound to certain rules and certain state laws and federal laws, and they're going to conflict, and you don't know, you know, how to best operate in a situation like that. And that's where a lot of these, a lot of attorneys in this space get caught up in a lot of these conflicts. And this is why a lot of issues arise, is because the rules that these third party entities are passing are just in violation of laws most of the time. We're not in, and then I want to clarify, not in violation directly, but can lead to, actions that would be in violation of certain laws.
Sure. Matt Hand, last one, Matt, and then we'll let you get back to it. To me, and I've said this a few times as well, we've already seen the NCAA at one point try to prop up a law. The Attorney General for the state of Tennessee came in, tried to fight that law and get it knocked down so that they could pay a kid coming out of high school, yada, yada, yada. I think the biggest challenge that may be faced is that so many of the schools in the NCAA are state colleges, state universities. They are governed by their state laws, and the federal laws almost kind of go by the wayside because of it. But because there is such a disparity across the entire legal landscape that is going to all have hands in this particular pie, I don't know that there is a way to get to a point where you can have one big blanket across all of college sports. And if that's the case, I don't know where we end up because of it.
Yeah, that is it's already how we're operating for the most part, at least in terms of the types of deals that schools are able to have with students. Many states, like I believe Oregon and California, I know for sure Oregon has recently passed and Tennessee's passed. You know, you're allowed to, it provides athletes ways to circumvent the NCAA rules, and it prevents the NCAA from enforcing any of these rules. And other schools that, you know, are operating in, say, states that don't have these rules are, you know, they're disadvantaged because they can't circumvent the NCAA regulations. So I think what's going to happen is if we're only operating on a state level, the schools that want to compete are going to have to work with their state legislatures to pass laws that are going to allow them to directly circumvent these NCAA regulations that are right now prohibiting them and putting them at a disadvantage because they can't compete with schools like Tennessee or with Oregon, who are allowed to just go in and pay these players without fear of retaliation because the states make it illegal for the NCAA to enforce that. At the end of the day, the NCAA is subject to the to state and federal legislation. And if the state law says they can't enforce these rules, then the NCAA can't do anything about it. And that puts them at a huge advantage. And the other states at a disadvantage. And I think the result of that is just going to be the fact that states are going to have to continue to pass legislation like Oregon and like Tennessee, which allows them to have advantages or at least stay competitive with these other schools.
Matt Hand is an attorney, a sports law expert, and a founder of Alta Sports Management. You can follow Alta Sports Management. Well, they'll be giving updates and chronicling this fun little journey we're all on together at Alta Sports Management on Instagram. Matt, been a pleasure, my man. Tremendous stuff. As this thing continues to develop, we'd love to have you back on to keep updating us.
Always. Would love to. Thanks so much for having me.
Fantastic. You got it. Matt Hand, appreciate his time here on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we talk to one of my favorite people to talk hockey with. Rachel Dory of Betalytics joins us next. We'll break down last night's absolute chaos in Game 4. Get you set up for Game 5. That's next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We have spent so much time talking about the House v. NCAA sentiment. I want to thank all of our guests today. Norm O'Reilly, the Dean of the College of Business at the University of New England. Jay Paterno, son of Joe Paterno, author, coach, and commentator. And in the last segment, Matt Hand, the founder of Alta Sports Management, for talking about it. But I've had enough of the legalese. I've had enough of the doom and gloom. I've had enough of the all bad things coming to college sports. So I want to flip to something that was incredible, something that kept me up way too damn late last night, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. And to do that, nobody I'd rather talk NHL hockey with than the CTO of Betalytics and friend, buddy of the show, Rachel Dory, joining us here on the show. Are you all the way awake now? Did you get your beauty sleep after the OT last night?
I did not get that much beauty sleep after the OT, and the problem is I woke up like at my regular time this morning and decided that instead of trying to go back to sleep, I was going to scroll TikTok for an hour. So very productive on my behalf. Well done.
I have heard the term doom scrolling before, and it's like, can we just bring back cat videos?
I would love some cat videos or Vine. Remember how funny Vines used to be?
Vine was the best. Like Vine should have been the end of it. We should have been like, this is it. You get 6 seconds. I don't need you singing your crappy music. I don't need you out there punking people. It's a prank, bro. Let's get rid of all that. Let's go back to Vine. You got 6 seconds to be funny and then get the hell off my screen.
I like it. I'm in.
All right, let's talk about what went down last night, Rachel Dory. The Edmonton Oilers, after 20 minutes of hockey, I thought were dead. But then, like the Undertaker, the church bell rings, and they fire four back unanswered. Let's start with the big one. What the hell changed in that locker room, in that dressing room? What did Paul Maurice say to get the boys hyped to come out for the next round and not just answer the bell, but like throw some hate? Not Paul Maurice. What did we say in the locker room to change the game up?
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, they went down 3-0 and I was out. And we kind of left because we're like, okay, this game is like done. We'll just watch the rest at home and have our funeral. It was 3-1 when we got home. And I was like, okay, like it's, because it's the Oilers, you're like, all right, it's a 2-goal lead. Like, this is no longer safe, right? So I was like, okay, now we're going to tune in. Then bang, 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 bang. I'm like, oh, okay. And it was crazy because the faceoff before Edmonton tied the game, I said, I'm like, they're pushing and they're going to score. Because they had like 5 or 6 insane scoring chances within the last like minute and a half. And I was like, they're going to score. And then right off the draw, like Pod Colson scores. And I was like, wow, okay, we got ourselves a game here. And then to boot, like, you look at it, I don't think it really had anything to do with what the Edmonton coach Chris Knobloch said. I think it has everything to do with the fact we kind of got a glimpse last year of what Connor McDavid can look like in a locker room when things are not going well in terms of firing up his team. To me, it would have had to have been either him or Draisaitl that basically peeled some paint off the wall and said, what are we doing here? And let's get it going. And you saw, like, in the second period, Connor McDavid almost put Aaron Ekblad on the wrong end of his second highlight reel play in the series. Like, he was a man possessed in periods 2, 3, and in overtime. Like, just utterly incredible. And that's where you go. You're like, okay, yeah, Connor McDavid, he's not playing all that well. Da, da, da. And then he has like periods like that where like he might not necessarily score, but you're like, look at this hockey player. And he fully changed the game for the Oilers.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think the thing that jumped off the page at me for a team standpoint was, especially after the conclusion of 3, which I kind of felt like I owed Triple H money for a WWE pay-per-view those last 10 minutes or so, my thought, and I said this to PJ Glasser on the BetMGM network earlier this week, one of two things happens. Either the Edmonton Oilers are broken, they are just a broken hockey team, or they're going to come out, they're going to get back to doing what they do, which is play physical, but play tight, play disciplined, take advantage. You know there are spots on the ice in every line that you are better than Florida. Play to that strength. That's what they did through the playoffs. After the first 20, I'm like, okay, they're broken. And then that team in the second and third period was hitting their marks when Florida got to the point where they almost reflexively, I think, were just dumping the puck to the other end and trying to catch a gasser. Edmonton did not just say, we're going to turn around, fire it back, chase it down there. It was like, we're going to hit our sets. We're going to get our marks. We're going to get into, like, we're going to run a hockey offense here. And once Edmonton got into that spot, Florida had no answers. It was two separate hockey teams playing in white shirts last night.
It absolutely was. And it's the tail. It's almost Jekyll and Hyde. The thing is when Florida's playing at their best, they are the best team in the league because they don't necessarily have the most skill, but that specific collection of players works really well together. They have really good two-way play, and they know how to get away with the physical nonsense that wears you down, that takes away your will to basically live and get away with it. And when Florida is at their best, they're playing suffocating hockey. And when Edmonton is at their best, they are running roughshod around you. Like that power play they had before they tied the game was insane. That's one of the most perfectly executed power plays I think I've seen all season long. And so it was kind of like a tale of two tapes for the Oilers with Jekyll and Hyde, because when the Oilers are playing poorly, they're getting rammed through the boards. They're giving up turnovers in their own end, and they just kind of look like a mess. But when they're at their best, you saw it. Florida couldn't suffocate them because they're not fast enough. You can't be physical if you can't keep up. And so Edmonton really, once they figured out that, hey, they can't necessarily skate with our big boys, they started to move the puck a little bit more efficiently. They started to kind of get in and impose their will on speed and skill. And Florida really did not have an answer for it. The only answer they ended up having was 6-on-5 at the end of the game with a kind of a really lucky bounce. And then in overtime, like, Edmonton was the better team again. And so it'd be interesting to see what happens in game 5, because I'm fully of the belief that whoever wins game 5 is going to win the cup.
I am totally on board with that. There is a saying that the college football folks down here in SEC territory say all the time, Rachel Dory, which is you can't hit what you can't catch. And I think I saw kind of a flip of what I expected in terms of mentality from both teams. I think Edmonton, once they got to the point that they were running their sets and they were playing hockey, it felt like Florida got to be the team that was frustrated, right? Like our plan was working and now it's not working and we don't know how to switch it back, right? Like Edmonton came in after period one, said, okay, the plan we came in here wasn't working. Let's go to plan B, or maybe go from plan B back to plan A. Florida, it felt like, got caught in a spot where they were, for the 2-3 periods leading into period two last night, their bully ball, Brad Marchand's a rat style hockey, it was working and they were able to just build on that. But the second it stopped working, they didn't know how to fall back on, let's just go play hockey at that point. And that was kind of the death sentence for the Cats last night.
Yeah, it was. And the thing about it is, and nobody really has an answer. And Paul Maurice will be the first person to say it. Like, if you have a strategy to stop Connor McDavid when he's at his best, like, please share with the class, because he's been in the NHL for a decade and nobody has an answer for him. And it's kind of one of those things where, yeah, the Edmonton Oilers as a whole got the Panthers off their game, because in game 3, the Oilers looked like they would not have beaten the San Jose Sharks in that game. And so they really kind of like flipped the switch, and McDavid and Draisaitl are a very key component of that. They drive that bus. And when Florida is too focused on not getting turned into a pretzel by those guys and not getting passed around like it's 12-year-olds playing against 8-year-olds at a hockey practice, you can get away from your physical game and you can get frustrated. And Florida was taking really silly penalties. And I was kind of laughing to myself, because I'm like, it's about damn time that they're penalized for like literally anything that they do. And finally, like, it was unavoidable. And even there was an egregious miscall on the Florida Panthers' third goal. Like, the guy high sticks him in the face. He turns it over and ends up in the back of the net. And I'm like, okay, like, if you just call that penalty, like, you should, we don't have a problem here. But once they started calling penalties, they didn't have an answer for it.
Yeah, and I think that's the drawback to playing Brad Marchand hockey, is if you get a ref who is willing to put the whistle to the lips it can change everything in that spot. Like you said, they're very smart, very adept at knowing when they can get away with it and when they can't. I think that's the entire reason that, aside from the fact that they got him at a stupid price, nice job, Boston, the reason they went to go get Brad is to kind of be that guy that says, look, this is how you do it, right? Like, this is the team you want to be. This is how you want to play. I'm the best at that, so let me teach you that. And it worked out very well in the last game, but it bit him in the ass last night.
Yeah, and they've got, like, Sam Bennett. I don't know how you get away with injuring three goalies in the last, like, month and a half, but, like, he figured out a way to do it, and they have a few rats, right? You've got Aaron Ekblad, who's running around elbowing people in the head. You've got Brad Marchand doing Brad Marchand things. Sam Bennett, who's also running around sucker-punching people and elbowing in the head and slew-footing them. You've got Matthew Tkachuk, who is all talk, and the one time he got in a fight, he nearly tore his groin. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, they call him the Rat Pack. That's kind of the nickname that they've been given at this point. And it's very astute. But the thing is like, the only guy that actually does it with any level of, I'm not even going to call it class, but like any level of like, okay, there's like redeeming qualities there is Brad Marchand, because he's not going to actually sucker someone or elbow them in the head. He's just going to be like chirpy. He's going to like put a stick to the back of your legs, like that kind of thing. But he's not out there trying to like legitimately hurt people when it feels like the other two are. And Brad Marchand will actually answer the bell. The other two won't.
Rachel Dory, CTO of Betalytics here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. We got about 2 minutes left here, Rachel, but you asked to talk about this, and I want to talk about this. U.S. soccer sucks, and it makes me sad a lot because we just won't change the dumb things we keep doing that make us suck.
Yeah, so I grew up in the German soccer system, and I'm really familiar with the European football model, and I'm just going to say, like, it works. If you don't think it works, like there's a reason, and Argentina and Brazil apply the same model. There's a reason they have all the World Cups and the US has won zero and Canada's won zero. And every single country that has a pay-to-play model has never won a World Cup. The way they look at soccer is almost like it's a cultural thing. Everyone should take part in this country's pastime. And so they want kids to play, whether you're rolling up a ball of socks and playing in Brazil, or you're, I don't even think in Germany, you don't have to pay to play like local soccer because it's government subsidized, because they want kids in these programs. The other thing is they're focusing on actually developing the player and their ability to think the game, as opposed to, oh, let's see who can develop the most skills, because we've seen this. Christian Pulisic is fantastically talented. The United States doesn't have a chance when they play some of the bigger European countries because they don't move the ball that way, because they're not taught that. It's not ingrained in them at that level. And when you have kids that are pay to play, you're missing out on some of the most talented kids, because some of the most talented kids in the United States can't afford to play sports. And you see them playing outside and they need those scholarships. We see it in football all the time. The moment soccer figures that out, the United States is going to be a soccer power. But right now, you've got too many people at the top who have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. They know they're making as much money as possible and nothing else matters. And until that changes, we are where we are. The travel ball model is the best thing that's happened to sports for a lot of kids, but it's the worst thing that's happened to sports for international sports, for Team USA. Rachel Dory is the CTO of Betalytics. She is my numero uno when it comes to talking NHL hockey. You are the best. Thank you very much. We'll do it again soon, closer to the end of the series.
Oh, yeah, we definitely will. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. Rachel Dory is the best. Go find her on X at Rachel Dory. I'll spell it out for you coming up later on. Back after this to wrap the show up, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, baby. Wrapping up the Friday, gotta get down on Friday edition of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Thanks again to Rachel Dory for joining us in the last segment, talking a little hacky and then loudly complaining about U.S. soccer for just a few minutes. And I got bad news for you as we inch closer to the 2026 World Cup hosted by, that's right, us, and our soccer federation continues to neuter the opportunity for this program to get better. I'm gonna keep whining about it. Where's the cutoff? Like I kind of know where my cutoff is. I just found my cutoff with the Atlanta Braves. I haven't brought him up in 3 days, and I'll bring him up in the future when you guys want to talk about him. But that's
because you only bring him up when they lose.
Pal, they won three out of the last 15 games. So if I only brought up when they lose, I'd be bringing him up every day.
Go back on the Odyssey app and listen to when the Braves brought up, and you'll find out that they're only talked about when they lose.
Yeah, because they lose a lot. And when you beat the Milwaukee,
they won two out of the last three games
against the Milwaukee Brewers. That is one of those things. Like my old man, when I was a kid and I was growing up, and like you'd bring home the report card, and like if you got an A+ in math, he'd be like, "Hey, great job! Let's get an ice cream." If you got an A+ in AP Bio, he'd be like, "Hey, great job! You get an ice cream." And if I brought home an A in PE, he'd be like, "Yeah, moron! That's what you're supposed to do. Anything less than that is a failure. There are two options, which is you're supposed to do it or fail. Beating the Milwaukee Brewers two out of three is getting a B+ in PE. Nice job. If you got anything less than that, I'd have taken belt to ass.
They are the Brew Hours forever now in my head.
Have at. I'm so frustrated I forget how to words. The point here is I've hit my point of apathy with that baseball team. It's just like the season's lost, and I'm aware the season is lost, and it is what it is, and hopefully the Braves, who switched to a publicly owned model that only cares about the bottom dollar, will see a decrease in ticket sales. And this is part of the reason why. I hope they see a drastic decrease in ticket sales and merch and television revenue, etc. I hope all that goes away, because in a publicly owned model, which the Braves are now, the only way anything changes is if the people who run it look at it and go, uh-oh, our margins decreasing, our shareholder values going down, and that means I will lose my job by the people who make the decisions, those that run or those that own the stock. So the only way for me to help the Bravos is to bail. It's not that way if you're a fan of the Pirates. They're a privately owned company. The owner gonna do what the owner gonna do. But the Braves have a possible out here. The problem is that is the same model that led to the Braves letting Max Fried go throw for a 1 ERA in New York. That's the same model that keeps guys that aren't worth keeping on good contracts, but lets guys that you should pay a little bit more walk, because saving money to apply to the bottom line is all that matters. So I'm checked out. No, you brought it up. I wasn't even going to do this.
The only thing I brought up was the fact that you only talk about them when they lose.
Because of what I just said. The more I talk about them, the more I get people to say, oh, let me go see if Rob's away. And the more people watch, the more they make money, the more nothing's going to change. I need people to not pay attention to them. And this is where fans... It's
probably the most conceited thing you've ever said.
Am I incorrect?
I don't know.
No, I do. It's correct. So, with that being said, the difference here with Team USA footy is that I have this one time. The World Cup will likely, unless I do real, real good in the whole not dying thing, the World Cup will be held in my lifetime one time.
When's it coming back around?
In the United States?
Yeah.
If it's on the same path, about 30 years from now.
Okay, so you probably will be around.
The fellas in my family don't make it to 70, bud. There's a real good shot I'm not for the next one. So I get likely two cracks at my team hosting a World Cup in my lifetime. The first one was back in the 90s when I was a child and I couldn't go. This time, the little brother and I had a whole plan about we were going to fly out to LA to watch him open the thing out at SoFi. We were going to fly to other parts of the country to go watch other, or drive to other parts of the country and watch international teams play from other countries. Super excited. And the other night when we lost 4-0 to Switzerland, that excitement completely died, because I came to the realization that we haven't changed the things that have made us bad for the past 20 years. Why would I think that they're going to change them in the next 364
okay,
days?
Okay, so when I'm in my 80s living at the Villages, I will ask my nurse to text you and ask you if you're actually going to the World Cup.
I mean, if it's here, sure. If the U.S. ever actually feels
You said 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So I'll be in my 80s. You'll be 70.
I would be 70, but again, sometimes you just got to know reality. The dudes in my family don't make it to 70.
Oh, just stop right? it.
They just don't.
Yeah, probably because of that kind of negativity.
Probably not. Almost said something real bad there. I hope my mom's not watching. Point here is, listen, we have likely one crack at this, and we're going to blow it. We're going to blow it because we just won't do the dumbest, simple things that need to be done in order to fix it. And I keep caring. I want to keep caring because I want Team USA to one day in my lifetime be a team I'm actually proud of. I've been proud about the Braves before, proud about the Saints before. Hell, there have been one or two times I was proud about the Pelicans, for God's sake. I have been around this long, and I've never really been able to look at Team USA Soccer and go, I'm proud of that team. Proud of you, though, Lonzo.
Well, you should be. It's time for What the X, where I ask Rob, what is Xing? Probably no positivity in this either. But you know,
there's going to be at least one.
Well,
there's going to be at least one.
Listen, you don't tell me what to do. The first thing that's Xing, now I'm just going to go negative on purpose, is Antonio Brown.
You're a bad person. You're a bad person.
How can that be? Okay.
Antonio Brown is wanted for attempted murder down in Miami. Now, I saw that trending earlier. I did not get a chance to go look at all of the details to see what is in the arrest warrant that was discovered by the local media last night. But
he said they tried to steal his jewelry. And there's video. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't had a chance to break it down yet. But he said to try to steal his jewelry. You don't want to do that. So I don't know. But people are acting like that the video doesn't show that.
Look, Antonio Brown remains, let's say, a character. I don't know what happened. I'll wait to find out what happened. The only reaction I had last night when this came across my TV as I was just trying to enjoy the hockey game was, what?
And then you also were not surprised.
Also, I was not surprised.
All right, the next thing is Xing. I don't know if you knew this. This happens every once in a while, but today it's Friday the 13th.
It is Friday the 13th. It's a weird day out there. We had a good day on the show today. You know what? No tricks, all treats on the Rob Brown Show today. I don't like... Friday the 13th it's a movie I've seen before, and outside of that, like, whatever, it's a day. It's a day where a day and a number match up.
It's supposed to be a day of bad luck. We talked about this before, and you said that you are not superstitious, but you're also a baseball player, fan and former player, and so you're superstitious in baseball, so you're either superstitious or you're not superstitious, or if you're lucky, you're very superstitious.
Okay, I am not superstitious at all. I do not believe that.
Set you up, I thought you were going to say.
No, yeah, no, I know. I am not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. I do not believe in luck, all right? I think things just happen. Like, statistically, most everything that happens to you is statistically likely to happen. I don't believe in luck. Part of the reason I was superstitious in baseball was mainly because if I was walking out to the pitcher's mound and I stepped on the foul line, which is a no-no in baseball, do I think it ever caused me to have a bad day? No. You know what did? When all my idiot friends went, "You stepped on a line! No!" And then I'm like, oh, these guys are idiots, and I'm so caught up in my friends being idiots.
So you go out of your way to walk under ladders. You don't care about black cats, all that kind of stuff. I want to read my...
The only thought I have when I see a black cat is, that's a cute cat.
My favorite thing I think I've read on the stream all this week from James, great day to be a no-selling hoss with a hockey mask. that's exactly what Jason Voorhees is. Yeah. And I never thought about that before. It's like,
yeah,
that's a sword. That's
pretty much it.
Is that all you got?
That's pretty much it.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Hunter Renfro.
Hunter Renfro. I did not see him trending earlier. Why is Hunter Renfro trending? I mean, obviously, trying to make the team out there, Carolina at the... Did he fight somebody?
No.
Did him and Bryce fight? That might be the only fair Bryce fight on the roster.
It might be.
Yeah.
My money's on Bryce in that, by the way.
I don't know. Hunter strikes me as like... That white dude that got a little crazy. Right, you know what I mean?
He did go to Clemson.
Yeah.
So he probably knows how to fight dirty.
Hunter Renfro,
that's what they do there.
Strikes me as that little white dude who got a little bit of crazy in him.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, the reason why he is Xing is because there's a question if he's going to make that fourth wide receiver.
Yeah, Dave Canales was talking yesterday, probably at the event Rashad was at and telling us about, by the way. He was talking yesterday saying that the probably the toughest decision of this offseason is going to be who makes the wide receiver room because it is stacked with dudes right now, and Renfro's right on that bubble of being able to make the team. I would not
he
be
also,
shocked.
I saw that he said that he doesn't play special teams, and that's – not good.
That'll get him off the team if he says no to playing special teams. Here's what I'd say. I would not be shocked, and obviously we're a long way from final rosters, even the first cuts. I would not be shocked if the Panthers carry an extra wide receiver, carry one more than the normal. Like, most teams are going to carry probably six. I wouldn't be shocked if they went seven, but that is providing that Coker's returning punts, Renfro's on kickoff coverage, et cetera, et cetera. If those guys are willing to do that, I could see Carolina carrying an extra wide receiver.
All right, last thing.
Say it.
Spaceballs 2.
Hell yeah! Got the announcement last night that Mel Brooks is so bleeping back, baby. We have had, you know, I'm not even going to tell you what the trailer, just go watch it. It's just scrolling text, mocking the Star Wars thing. It's absolutely hilarious. Spaceballs, may the Schwartz be with you. Did you see he was wearing a Spaceballs, the sweatshirt? I want it so bad.
Are those
bad.
The ones that were advertised at the end of Spaceballs 1?
Mm-hmm.
And never
I
made
have
it to
find it. Have to find it. Spaceballs is back. I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
No barf, man. I mean, there is, but it's not.
But
it's not John Candy.
But Rick Moranis is back too. Let's go. That's it for us. Let's go home. Thanks for being here. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, your problem. Check out thefanupstate.com to listen to it back on your own time. See you Monday. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Goodbye.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.